Support for Living on Earth comes from listeners like you. Please make a gift online at loe.org or call 800-893-3377 right now. And thanks.
It's Living on Earth. I'm Steve Kerwin. Republicans have traditionally been considered to be the political party that's friendliest to business, and the platform adopted at the convention that nominated John McCain broadly calls for more energy investment. And it declares that alternative energy sources such as solar, wind, geothermal, and hydropower, quote, must enter the mainstream. But just how open is John McCain and the Republican Party to the development of new energy enterprises? Joining me now to shed light on what energy investors want from policymakers is Michael Hoffman. He manages investments in conventional and renewable energies for Riverstone Holdings, LLC, a private equity firm with $15 billion under management. Michael Hoffman, welcome to Living on Earth.
Thank you.
Now, both Democrats and Republicans are doing a lot of talking this year about the importance of investing in renewable energies. Tell me, you run perhaps the biggest renewable energy fund in the world. Just how big is this alternative renewable energy business right now, and how big could it get in the future?
The amount of spending in a year, in 2007 dollars, in the conventional energy business worldwide is about $800 billion, and it's about $200 billion for renewable energy. The conventional energy business is only growing at like 3 or 4% per annum, and the renewable energy business, interestingly enough, is growing in excess of 20-25%, depending upon what area you're talking about. And if it continues to grow at the 20-25% rate, it'll take a while for it to be as big as conventional energy, but it will eventually get there if the pace continues.
Now, the Republican platform supports ending America's addiction to foreign oil through more oil drilling, more nuclear power plants, and a long-term energy tax credit for renewable energy sources. How does the investment community view this platform?
Well, I think in general, positively. I mean, it's a little bit like motherhood and apple pie. Of course, everybody wants energy independence. But what the Republicans and Democrats have done is both spoken about the need for renewable fuels and renewable power. But the details of what each the Democrats and Republicans are arguing for is not really in the party platforms and, quite frankly, changes on a pretty consistent basis. At one point, it looked as though the McCain campaign was embracing global warming concerns and therefore really focused on carbon cap and trade programs. It's not as clear at this point, and he picked a vice presidential candidate who doesn't even believe in global warming as a serious threat. So it's not clear where the Republican platform is on some of these issues.
Now, the language of the Republican platform on climate change says specifically we can and should address the risk of climate change based on sound science without succumbing to the no-growth radicalism that treats climate questions as dogma. They are particularly silent, though, on the question of how they would do it internationally or even at home in terms of a cap-and-trade program or taxes. What's your reading of that?
I think they're hedging their bets. You've got different wings of the party saying different things. You've got somebody like Governor Schwarzenegger, who in California has taken a very aggressive stance towards trying to deal with climate change and has put in place at the state of California level a requirement that 33% of all power that the utilities are run on is from renewable sources. Others, like the governor of Alaska, is obviously not so sure that that's a problem. So I think they're trying to capture both ends of the spectrum in their working draft on the platform.
So policy-wise, in your view, what's the best-case scenario for investors? What would your energy platform be?
I guess our energy platform would be developing the transmission grid you need to deliver alternative energy, whether it's wind or solar, to the places where you need it. That's one of the biggest bottlenecks. On the fuel side, you need really specific mandates in place and incentives in place that people can rely on. And so I think there are some strategies that can be taken both on the fuel side and on the power side to maximize the success of renewables. You know, I think the investment community is looking for certainty. To the extent that there are real incentives in place that extend for a period of time, that people can count on the development of new energy resources, whether they're nuclear or renewable, that's what Wall Street wants, certainty.
And what about cap and trade?
Cap and trade is a very interesting question. Nobody's building a wind farm or a solar farm based on cap and trade, but they are debating whether or not to build a coal-fired plant because it could be very costly. Cap and trade, though, will help elevate the competitive costs for non-renewable energies, which makes renewable energy more competitive. The trick about cap and trade is, where do the credits go? The devil's in the details. What is the cap and trade legislation going to look like? And until you know that, it's kind of hard to see who the winners and the losers are.
Michael Hoffman is the managing director of Riverstone Holdings, LLC, and co-author of the new book, Green, Your Place in the New Energy Revolution. Thanks, Michael.
Thank you.